Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to have you on the program. Well, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air once more. Thank you for a beautiful day, Lord. We want to thank you and praise you for some of the results and some of the elections this past week. And we just thank you for the opportunity we have to be on the air today. We just ask that you'd use the program for your glory. Bless our time, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today, and I enjoyed Pastor Lutz's message there previous to us, if you got a chance to hear that, and he's got a good program, and of course, Pastor Rusnacko is going to be afterwards, and I just recommend the ministries there. Pastor Lutz is, of course, the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and then, of course, Pastor Andy Rusnacko, pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and then I'm the pastor in between, I guess, literally on the radio and somewhat geographically. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and it's something Pastor Lutz and I were chatting about just in brief. We had just about 2 minutes as he was leaving the studio here after his program, and then my getting ready for our program here right now. And looking at our three programs, it kind of illustrates what we were talking about. He's, of course, on the west side of Cleveland in Lakewood, Pastor Lutz is, and Pastor Rusnacko is on the east side out in Euclid, and then I'm south of Cleveland down in Summit County and in Richfield, Ohio, and it illustrates something that's kind of a sad fact, that the Cleveland area, all of our Bible-believing independent Baptist churches are now located outside of Cleveland that we can think of. We were trying to think if there's any independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches actually within the city limits of Cleveland today, and we couldn't think of anything. He couldn't think of anything, and everybody seems to be on the outskirts. Even Cleveland Baptist Church was actually on Tiedemann Road in Brooklyn, Ohio, and so it's, again, outside of the city limits of Cleveland, and, you know, you think about the way our nation is going, we need to pray that God will raise up people that will start churches inside of our cities, inside of our urban centers. There's a desperate need for churches to be planted in these areas. In Luke chapter 14, let me just read something here in Luke chapter 14, and let me see if I can find my place here. Luke chapter 14, and down toward the end of the chapter, Jesus says this. He says in verse 34, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, salt was very valuable back in Jesus' day. It's very valuable today. Today, we don't use salt to the great extent that they did in the past, especially prior to refrigeration. Salt was greatly used to preserve things, and I have a relative who likes to make sauerkraut, and they've been making sauerkraut this past week, and they grow their own cabbage and all that, and basically they've got a large crock, and they shred the cabbage, they put it down in there, put a layer of salt over top of that, and then they put some more cabbage in there, and more salt, and more cabbage, and more salt, and more cabbage, until they fill the crock up. They put a weight on the top, a cover, a lid with a weight on it, and over time, that salt pulls the juices out of the sauerkraut and acts as a preservative, or out of the cabbage, and it turns it into sauerkraut. And it is a way of preserving the harvest, a way of preserving the cabbage. And when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, they still to this day have a custom during weddings, during funerals and things like that. There's a series of gifts that they give away. Weddings and funerals are both called fa'alavelaves, which literally means a whole lot of trouble. And it's because there's a whole series of things that have to be gone through here in the West. When somebody dies, you know, family and friends come together to support the immediate family of those who pass. But in Samoa, it's called a fa'alavelave because what happens is the family that lost their loved one has to put up and house and feed everybody that comes to the funeral for basically as long as they stay, essentially. So it's a lot of trouble, but there's a whole series of gifts that have to be given to various people, whether they have some kind of a chief position or if they're a pastor or something like that. And so as they give out these gifts, one of the things they give out is what we would call salt pork or salt meat. And that's because when the first European ships and American ships began following the whales and going down into the South Pacific and trading with the Polynesians, and the Samoans, of course, are a Polynesian people, they would have on board barrels of salted beef, salted pork, and they use that salt to preserve the meat. And if you've never had salt pork or something like that, it's kind of an experience. Generally speaking, to cook it, you have to process it to get some of that salt out because there's a lot of salt in it. But salt was very important, and that's why we have expressions today such as, he's worth his salt, because people get paid in salt even sometimes, because it was a very useful commodity in terms of preserving food. Salt also has some medicinal aspects. If you have a sore throat, for instance, it's very common for people with a sore throat to gargle with some salt water, and it helps to cleanse the throat, and it helps to kill some of the bacteria and stuff, sort of antiseptic. And there's a lot of variety of uses for salt, but there's two things you have to realize with salt. It's got to get out of the shaker in order to do any good. It's got to get out of the tub or the bucket or whatever it's in order to do any good. Just sitting there in a bucket or in a jar, it's not going to do anything. Just sitting in the shaker on the table, it's not going to do any good. And of course, one other thing I should mention about uses of salt is it's a flavor. I mean, it's a flavor enhancer. You put it on your food, and oftentimes we'll be cooking, and I enjoy cooking. My wife enjoys cooking, and we enjoy cooking together. And sometimes we'll be making something, we'll taste it, and you taste it, and you think it just needs something. And then one or the other of us will suggest, well, why not put a little more salt in? Put a little salt in there. Put a little salt in there, and all of a sudden, that's it. That's exactly what it needed. It just seems to pull out the flavors and meld them together. So salt is very useful, but it's no good unless it gets out of the shaker. Now, let me come back to what I was saying about Cleveland needing churches planted in it and tie this in with the elections of this past week. And when we think about this, Christians, the Bible says here, Jesus is saying that we as his followers, we are supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be salt in the world. And he says this here, salt is good. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Now, here's the thing. In order to season with salt, it's got to get out of the shaker. I understand that. That's what I was saying. And for Christians to make a difference in the world, we've got to get outside of the confines of our church buildings. We've got to get out of the confines of our own homes. Now, some people are more people persons than others. Some people are very extroverted, some people more introverted, and all of that. And if you're a extroverted people person, that doesn't make you any better than if you're an introverted non-people person, or if you're somewhere in between. It's the way God creates us, but we all have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to get out of the church building. We have to get out of the confines of our own house to interact with the world around us in some way. And we can find ways to do that. One of the ways, for instance, that I choose to do that is by means of this radio program. And of course, I serve as a pastor, and A lot of people say, well, you must be an extrovert to be a pastor and be on the radio. No, far from it. I'm not an extrovert. I'm much more of an introvert. But at the same time, I recognize that because I'm more of an introvert, that left to my own self, I would, you know, tend to live in my own little world and be perfectly content. But if I'm going to be salt, and if I'm going to make a difference in the world around me, I've got to get myself out somehow into the world around me. And this is one way that I choose to do it. There's other ways, but since I'm on the radio right now, and that's what we're looking at, this is one thing that I can mention. By doing this, I'm able to make a difference. I'm able to share the gospel with people. I'm able to help people as a Christian. I'm able to help people to grow. I'm able to encourage people. I'm able to minister to people. And I'm getting out of the shaker, so to speak. And the only way salt can be used is to get out of the shaker. Here's another way. On our elections this past week, and I work in the election, and again, that's another way that I can get out of the shaker. I get involved in a limited basis in our community. I live in Richfield Village, and I work in the polls on election day in Richfield Village in our precinct, and you know, I get to go and pick up the ballots and then come and help make sure that the polling station is set up properly. And then when people come in on election day, help process people so that they can get their opportunity to vote. And also to help do my part to see that the voting is done fair, that it's done correctly. And, you know, just to give people the opportunity to exercise their right that we have as American citizens to vote in these elections. And so that's a way that I can, in a sense, make a difference in the world around me while it's not, directly being a witness I'm not preaching the gospel to people as they come up to get their ballots and things. That's obviously can't be done in that setting. But at the same time, it gives me a chance to interact with people, and I enjoy that. And so it gets me out of the shaker, out mixing with people, and gives me an opportunity to try to make a difference in the world around me. Now, another way that Christians can do that is simply by exercising their right to vote. And I am so happy to see the great turnout in just our little corner of the world in Richfield Village. I think Richfield Village, we had over 60% of the electorate in Richfield Village, over 60% of the voters turn out to vote in an off-year election. Now, granted, there were several things on the ballot. We had a mayoral race in Richfield, and of course, that brings more people out. But we also had the state issues, Issue 1, Issue 2, and Issue 3. Issue 2 and Issue 3, of course, were the ones that we were most concerned about. Issue 3 in particular, which was the marijuana bill. And a lot of Christians came out to vote on Tuesday, and I'm glad for that. Because, see, the problem that we've had in our country here is that Christians have lost their savor. We've not wanted to get out of the shaker, or we've become so polluted with the things of the world that we've lost our savor, and we're not making a difference in the world around us. Let me get back to Luke chapter 14 here again. And Jesus said there in verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his savor, one of the ways salt would lose its savor is the way they stored it. They would have a little building or a pit where the salt was stored, and the salt that was on the bottom in contact with the ground, with the dirt, would get contaminated, and it would lose its savor, and it wasn't good for anything. In fact, Jesus said here in verse 35, it is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. They would literally throw it out into the footpaths, into the street, and use it to kind of help cut down the dust and things in the street. Nothing more for it to be done, or to be done with it. And they just, in fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus put it this way. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." And that's what he's talking about there. See, we as believers have to make a difference in the world around us. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, we have to make a difference. Our ultimate goal is to preach the gospel, see people come to Christ and get saved, and then teach new believers and to help them to grow in their knowledge and understanding of the Bible and their relationship with Christ so that they in turn can go out and reach others with the gospel as well. And so that's why we have churches. And unfortunately, we as Christians, we lose our savor because we become so enamored, polluted, whatever the word you choose to use, I guess there's a variety of words that we could use there, with the things of the world, so that we no longer have the distinction that makes us salt that God can use for the purposes of making a difference in the world around us. I was talking with a friend of mine on the phone earlier today, and we were talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is the problem that happens. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says this. He says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead," quick means the living, "the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Paul says this to Timothy, "Preach the word." Now let me pause there for a minute. There's a reason that he said to preach the word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse number, I'm going to go up here, I think, to verse number 13. He says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 13, he says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." That's the world in which we live in today. Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, meaning becoming more and more, deceiving and being deceived. And then Paul continues to tell Timothy here. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And see, there's where we need to teach and train people using the word of God. Paul's telling Timothy, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says this. This is a very strong statement that is important to understand why we defend the Word of God on this program, why Pastor Lutz and the North Coast Baptist Church sponsors their half-hour program before us, why Pastor Resnacko and the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, sponsor their program on in the half-hour after us. And this statement is right here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Paul says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." And then he says this, "and is profitable." Now, profitable means it's good for something. That's the opposite of good for nothing. Somebody says, "Well, that's good for nothing. I wouldn't even waste my time with that. That's not good for anything. It's good for nothing." Well, this is the opposite. This is profitable. It's good for something. He says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now the sentence pauses. I'll pause there. Sentence continues on. But these are several things right here that God gave his word for, and it's profitable, which means that if we read it, if we study it, it will help us to understand doctrine. It will reprove us. It will correct us. It will instruct us in righteousness. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then the sentence continues in verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." See, this word, the Bible, is going to perfect us, and it's going to use doctrine, it's going to use reproof, it's going to use correction, it's going to use instruction in righteousness. But it's only good if we read it, if we study it, if we learn it, if we memorize it, if we meditate on it. And our responsibility as Christians is to take this same word of God to the world around us. And if we allow the Bible to work in us, we'll be salt that has savor. We'll be salt that can exercise those principles of bringing good taste to the world around us. I think about that. Look at the state of entertainment in the world today. Look at the state of art. You know, things, the more vile, the more uncomfortable, the more disgusting, the more immoral, the more degrading, the more the world is likely to say, now that's art. Well, we need to bring some good taste. Think of Handel's Messiah in terms of music, for instance. That was a celebration of, you know, the birth of Christ. And there's a lot of tremendous music. And our church, we love singing some of these old hymns of the faith. And we use the we actually use songbooks in our church with some old hymns of the faith. And I love watching when some visitors come in that really haven't sung these old hymns, and they sing them, and they go, wow, that's beautiful. The music is, the words are tremendous. See, we're bringing good taste by being salt that has savor. But not only that, when we go out into the world, we can make a difference in the world around us. We have to get involved. We have to vote. We have to run for public office as believers. We have to get involved in our children's schools as believers. I know a lot of Christians, for one reason or another, they send their children to public school. Well, you can get involved in your children's school, their education. You can go to parent-teacher meetings and things like that. You can get involved in the school board meetings, all kinds of ways you can get involved, but you have to get involved and bring good taste, so to speak, to these things, improve the flavor of things around you. But also, salt retards spoilage. It's a preservative. And you look at the spiritual condition, the immorality in our world around us. Who would have ever thought that same-sex marriage would be the law of the land, according to the governor of Ohio? And who would have thought that the federal government would be ordering schools to allow teenage boys to undress and shower with teenage girls and threaten them with the loss of federal funds if they did not allow that, even if they all because the teenage boy says that he feels more like a girl than a boy. And who cares if the girls are uncomfortable with a naked boy in their locker room? And when the school said, well, we'll put up a partition, he can change behind the partition, the federal government said, no, that will make him feel like less of a girl. Excuse me, he's not a girl. If you look at his DNA, he's not a girl. And, you know, it's, I'm sorry, when the woman of the year, what was it, Glamour magazine or something, had Bruce Jenner, you know, on there as Caitlyn Jenner, as the woman. We live in a morally sick society. You know why part of that is Christians, as a salt that's supposed to be salt, we've lost our savor. We're so enamored by the things of the world. We're so polluted ourselves by the things of the world. We're not making a difference in the world around us. Let me get back to 2 Timothy 4 here. And we got just a minute or so left, but let me just continue on what Paul told Timothy to do in chapter 4. He said in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Doctrine is very important, and here's what Paul says about doctrine. Now, a lot of churches don't want doctrine. They say, doctrine divides. We want to love each everybody. We want to get along with everybody. Doctrine's too divisive. We don't want doctrine or strong doctrine. Here's what Paul said about it. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's the church today. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's Christianity today. I'm sorry, my friend. We live in the Laodicean church age. We don't want to endure sound doctrine. We've turned away from the truth for fables that the devil is all too happy to give us. Turn back to the Word of God. Search the Scriptures. That's where we find salvation. That's where we find out about God. Everything I know about God comes out of His Word. The fact that the Bible is the Word of God is the fundamental. If it's not the Word of God, then I have no reason to be here doing this program. We need to be salt in the world. We need to get out there. Get out of the shaker. Make a difference. bring good taste and savor to the world around you. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.